Well, I guess this is the second DC Metro Church IT Roundtable. We're just all gathered around here. For all those of you not here, you're really missing out on the food and pizza.
Mmm, pizza.
anybody have anything that they want to start off with? I'll just announce that there is a nationwide Church IT Roundtable. I don't know if you guys saw in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm making it. I don't know if anybody else can make it out there. But
when is it again? What are the dates?
October 2nd to the 4th, Kansas City.
The weekend of Catalyst?
Might be.
I think Catalyst.
You guys going to Catalyst?
He is. I gotta stay home.
He's having a baby.
No, well, my wife is having a baby. But
you're just helping.
I will be assisting there at the bedside.
Your job will be to look freaked out standing in the corner, right?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your job will be to stay standing in the rec
room. Boy.
Oh,
wow.
September 18th, due date. So we'll see.
First boy?
First. Well, we're excited.
Have fun, yes.
And my wife is scared to death. I'm excited. No, it's going to be great.
Well, I can start by showing you guys that SSL Explorer if you want.
Sure, that'd be cool.
No, go ahead. Show us.
This is basically an SSL VPN tool.
All right. That's what I want to see.
That David just mentioned.
How long have you been on this?
About probably 8-9 months.
This is open source, right?
It's open source. They do have a premium product, which is paid, but I haven't seen a need for it.
What's the advantage?
For the premium,
yeah.
Support, of course, and I think it has a client-based IPsec thing going on too. Let's see, it's gonna tell you exactly how long I've been on. I'm not pulling it off for some reason. So basically, for how we use it, it's a route to it from anything. Firefox IE doesn't really matter. I have it connected to Active Directory. Okay, so I'm gonna log in with an admin. My login is an admin login on it. And basically, this is the admin side, what an administrator will see. And you can come in. I know it looks kind of complex, but it's actually not that bad. Probably the trickiest part is just getting it to see Active Directory right.
Yeah.
There was something like you have to add something to the host file or something, some funny trick to get it going. Other than that, it's just a Windows install. You could run it right on your server, and all you would open was port 443 right to it on your box, and that's it. Since you guys are only running one server, I don't know if that's going to conflict with Outlook Web Access. You gotta be careful about that. It might almost be worth it just running it on a separate box.
Are you running this on Apache or IIS?
And it runs its own web server.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying. Be careful.
We put it on another server.
We can open up another port, but yeah, we have another server.
Yeah.
How do you run it, did you say? On its own?
I run it on another box, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have a box that has all the random stuff on it.
Okay.
It's a random Windows server. It doesn't like WSUS.
It just sits there.
Anything random goes through the box.
Smaller.
But if it goes down, it's not as mission critical as our file and Active Directory and all that.
So is it up? Windows server?
Yeah, it's a Windows server, but this will run in Linux, too.
Okay.
They even come in with a VMware appliance as well.
Very cool.
Okay. That's
That's what we do right there,
VMware.
I had a problem getting the appliance up, but that was probably 6-8 months ago, and I think they fixed it since then. So basically, all you would need to do, I use it mainly to get people to remote desktop into their desktops.
Right.
That's the main way I use it. So go to applications. These are basically things I've already set up. These are mainly... you can see either Microsoft RDB client or VNC into their machines. So if you wanted to make a new one, you could do a create application shortcut, pick which extension, and there's other extensions you can install. Some are free, some are cost money, but the basic RDP and VNC are included. You can pick a name, SBC, okay. Add to favorites, you just make it appear on their homepage. And then you literally just put in an IP or a host name on your inside network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's see here. I can put my home PC.
I think it's set at 1024.
You can set your screen. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then you add your users. The policies based on either if you want a group or single person policies. And these are the, this finance is an Active Directory group. I didn't create that group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or you could even add everyone, things like that, a single person. Okay. Add them over and you're done. Now, because I'm an admin, I can use it regardless of what group it's in. If we go to test, you hit it, it's going to open up Java.
Might show up here. So is it on the client side, it's a Java app, but
does it Java creates the SSH tunnel, SSL tunnel. You see here, it's loading up the Java.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay, yeah. Boom, I'm remote desktop. And I'm on my machine.
So the Java is for a specific, it automatically opens up whatever
that shortcut is for. Even with VNC, you can put the password in, and it'll actually go all the way through and open right up to the session. I also use it to give access to like our media drive to some volunteers that do like audio and video editing. So that's a share on the NAS, okay? Right there, and they can log in and get to those shares directly without giving them any remote desktop, and they can upload and download. It's a web interface, so of course they're not going to like moving 50 files around that way. But, right now, on Sunday, the audio files, somebody cleans them up for us, and he just downloads them, cleans them up, puts them back up.
That's nice.
Well, it'd be really rad to have this. This is a really cool tool. I've been looking into an app called Adobe Air. You seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Air, what you can do is the same basic principle of the file sharing, but you could use the drag and drop functionality out of Windows, which you obviously don't get yet in the web interface. I mean, it may be there one day, but that'd improve the functionality in terms of file management. But still, like you say, at this point, who cares? Just get the access to the files.
This is like, you probably could be set up and running in like maybe an hour of tweaking.
Yeah,
like really? And it's free. I mean, you can see these are like if you want PuTTY access remotely or something. And this way, the only thing you're opening up on your firewall to the inside is 443, no 3389 for remote desktop. None of those other ports.
That's what I like.
Citrix is nice. Even here. Stuff like that. And also, if you have an internal web server, or your, for example, your internal chat Jabber, Jabber server, you could also forward those ports through.
Oh, really?
Okay, so for example, you could do a web forward right here. I don't have an... So if you had an intranet, and you wanted to keep it secure, but you didn't want to deal with securing it on the app side, you just secure it here, and then it can hit your SharePoint, your this or that, without having to worry about certificates and all that in 10 different places.
It's cool.
Wow.
Even your phone manager, I know you guys are showing that, you set it up here as a web forward.
So you probably filter in all of the outside outside in web stuff through the same app.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're all
even
secure.
Even if your Outlook web access is not even secure, you can close that.
Right.
Okay? And then make them come through here to get the Outlook web access.
Yeah. That's neat.
So,
can you scan this?
Mm-hmm.
Can you scan this?
Probably.
Yeah, if it's open source, it's file sitting on server, so.
Yeah,
it's just a question of how hard you have to work to do it.
Yeah, there'd just be a CSS file sitting on the server.
You probably can. I haven't, but I'm sure you can somewhere.
Be cool.
It's involved in installing it. Can you get this
it's just an executable. You download, run it. Like I said, I had to change in the host file. I had to put in the name and IP address of the domain controller.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was it. And then it asked you in a setup, who's your domain controller? You put in an account that has privileges, and that's it. Here's the download page.
That looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I think if you're not doing it on your domain controller, it's even better. Here it is, SSL Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to the Java type. This is the appliance.
Oh, they're pretty active on development, too, huh?
August 9, 07.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Where does this rank on SourceForge? Is it one of the most popular?
No, how do you tell?
Stats over in the top right.
Top
left.
Downloads.
Cameron, is that thousands or? Oh, it's gigs on the right, but I guess that's single numbers, so 600 a day.
Rank
400. 410.
Pretty good, right?
Really. I mean, it's okay.
It's not dead.
Yeah, it's not huge, though. But it's a nice piece. It really doesn't matter much as long as it's a good piece of software.
I mean, it works pretty well. It's been pretty reliable with us. I've had to start locking down the machines that are critical with static IPs,
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that under no situation do they change. And I've actually, it's forced me to put UPSs on some desktops because...
Oh, right.
Because people, like our finance team, a lot of our finance team is volunteer. And so they are hitting this thing all the time. Even the guy that runs our payroll is volunteer. Mm-hmm. And so I get a call at like 10 o'clock at night. I can't get in my machine to run payroll. It's almost like the server now. So now they all got UPSs. Mm-hmm. They all... And it's easier than trying to get QuickBooks to run on a terminal server or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's where that was at. Anybody else got a cool tool?
Sure.
Show you the Firebug thing.
Sure. You use Firebug?
Not really, because I don't do a lot of JavaScript. I haven't installed. Yeah, it's a great add-on.
He was just pointing out for like he's trying to figure that WordPress theme or something, get something to go away, and Firebug is great for just like, okay, what if I change this and change this? Does that work? Does that work? You don't have to worry about refreshing or saving.
Oh, in terms of CSS?
Or Java, you know, I use it more for CSS, but I can use the same thing for JavaScript or HTML too.
I think probably now for it seems like Firebug to me is really exceptional at JavaScript stuff, especially debugging issues in maybe some Ajax stuff that you've got going, trying to monitor that. And I also really love the feature that kind of let you know like what things are sort of slowing you down or how. Things you can do to sort of improve.
Yeah, that's nice for that.
But yeah, it's great to get right to the DOM if you want to look and see what's happening there. To me though, in terms of editing CSS, I really like the web developer toolbar for that.
Yeah, that should be enough.
It's in here. I can like highlight over whichever part that I want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here it tells me, oh, okay, here's all the style sheet stuff that's applied to it.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to try taking something off, I can just disable it. See what happens.
Yeah,
you're lining up there.
And actually, that is. I forgot.
Header.
Because it uses the descendant selectors right there. That is a lot faster.
You can see exactly. Okay, here's the file. Here's the style sheet. Here's the line that this came from. Here's what's being overridden. And if I want to go ahead and say, let's try display none.
See how it bounced up?
Yuck. Okay, so you don't want
to
do that.
I'm trying to get rid of the normal text header and just delete the graphic header.
Where's the text header? What do you mean text header?
Like, usually you know how in WordPress they're always, the header is specified, the mm-hmm. title is specified as text?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to leave it in there as a graphic.
So you want, you want the link, but you want the link to be actual...
Yeah, I want
okay,
the
here's
link.
Your, okay, here's your underlying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to take that out.
Oh, in WordPress?
Yeah.
Just, do you have FTP access to this thing right now? Just open up WordPress. Just open up the
dashboard?
Yeah, FTP. No, yeah, the dashboard FTP. Will work. The dashboard will work. Yeah, just do the dashboard. That's fast.
I don't think I have right access.
Oh.
And this sort of our server's still here. And it's all site here.
Go to go to header.php.
Yeah, I took it out, but it totally screwed up stuff.
Yeah, just take that out right there.
Yeah. And then when I do that.
All right, where is your image call at? Is it set as a background? So in other words, you have a header in there, but I don't see an image tag.
It's called BG underscore page. Maybe it's being called through the CSS.
Yeah, it's over there and see
if it's down. Yeah, take a look and see where the
might be set as a background image.
It's called BG, so it probably is. Or would you see it?
It'd be right. It would actually be.
Probably under the body or something like that. Background. No, this is color.
Oh.
Should not know.
If you click on it, it doesn't take you there.
This click on what?
Click on
itself. Click where it says inspect right up there. Now we'll run to the background and see. So that's the header.
Look under div ID header. In the CSS, so just go to and scroll down to see header. Do a search for.
We can do up up there is a search box. There you go.
Do your left post.
We can do a search for the file name, see if it's in there too.
That's weird. Yeah, search the file name. There it is. Page background.
What?
The background of the page ID. So is that whole background?
No, this is just a color.
That's the theme part.
So if you right click that image and you go view background image, it's
just a header.
So but you're calling the header in the CSS, so I don't understand then what the problem is with if you remove the title, what happens? If you
it
save
it goes
that,
up.
Okay, here's what we'll do then.
Alright, it should be actually a flood. Let's actually
look at the okay, good. Alright, look at the view the background image again. 988x83. Go to your back to your CSS. Or actually you're gonna have to pull it up here because we're gonna have to edit it. Go to header.
Okay.
H1 and header A. So we're going to add a new, flag. That's right. How high was it?
88?
83,
I think.
83. 83 pixels. Five.
This will save right here.
Yeah, do you need a space there or
no? No, I don't need a space. Okay. Here, actually. Okay. I'll save it.
Okay.
And refresh.
Ah, perfect.
You can... is that too much space?
Yeah, it might be too much.
So, okay, so there's probably some margin...
right here in the
pattern? Yep. Take out, you would actually need four values here. So I don't really know what kind of pattern you're trying to do.
I
can play with it from here.
You can play with it from Firewall.
Let's just zero it out, see what happens. Save that. I think you're getting that blue border around the outside because of that.
There you go.
There
we go. Up at the bottom.
Actually. Yeah. Let's do,
so that I was looking for that display block. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to figure
display
out.
Display block. Yep.
Yeah. How to put in a
zero.
How to force it to be a certain size.
Do you play with this stuff at all?
A little bit. I always just end up asking. Can't justify spending enough time on it when I know I got him around, you know. That's right, ask him and he'll do it in 60 seconds.
What do you think about that?
That's perfect. That's exactly how the original is. Perfect.
I don't know why your edge over there is cutting off, though. Go to the body.
Under the top.
Bet you got some eyes. Nope. What edge is cutting off?
It looks like there's like a gray border. See this?
Here, no, this is
all around the whole thing? Right. Yeah.
This is where. Let's see what it is. Inspect.
What is this little deal thing here?
Yeah.
Nothing here.
It is the body, though, because when you hover over it, that's
yeah,
where it takes you back. It says no thousands, but it does.
Go to the body in the CSS?
Yeah, let me try to edit this and see what happens. I think maybe this will spot right there. Cause havoc. Okay, let's always do this again. We'll go over reset.
It's
CSS day at the church IT roundtable.
Oh, I see.
You get them hooked on this stuff. Take those back out.
What are you trying to? What's bothering you?
Well, there's
the gray border around the whole thing.
There's this gray border around the whole thing.
This one right there?
No. It's right there. Which could probably even be.
Could it be from the link?
No, it's probably this. Where's the cursor at? Oh, there it is. It's probably just for kicks. I'm just gonna go. Okay, so it's that piece right there. So it is somehow applying some sort of padding to some element. Sorry, we'll move on. There it is. Yep. I got the top. And then, so now it's centered. Everything, you do want the centering.
Yeah.
So what that did is, you just had five pixels of padding at the top. Do you want that?
I don't.
Yeah. And then you could probably make this background color right here.
The blue.
Yeah. This exact same as the blue.
Okay.
Would you happen to know what that is?
I think it's on the page ID.
Point.
The background there.
Point to the background with Firebug. I can tell you.
Up on all kinds of stuff. So, it's just what you do 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this guy with video, I'm clueless and
can make it happen.
Makes magic.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very cool. Anybody else got any other questions or things like that? Stuff they want to see?
I think what we're doing now, if we have anything else for him.
Everything running okay from Wednesday?
Yeah, here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. So and there may be no easy answer right now. So since we have all our PCs logging into our domain
mm-hmm.
with our Windows server,
mm-hmm.
So when you access with a Mac in Finder,
mm-hmm.
and you punch in where we have it set up, first name dash last name, how do you authenticate to the machine? Do you have to have that person's credentials?
If you want to access somebody's local machine?
Mm-hmm.
File? No, you would authenticate.
We tried with administrator and administrator's password, but it didn't let us in.
No, you're going to do national community church.
Dot local.
Slash. I don't know if you have to put in the dot local.
Slash.
Because, you know, there's
like a short name.
Yeah. The one that's like
national
community. It ends with the I. Yeah.
For sure, the whole thing will work. So you can do the slash administrator for slash anybody that has access to that box. But you have to, because when it's already thinking you're going to authenticate against the local machine, not against the domain admin machine.
So national community slash administrator password.
Yeah.
And that'll basically give you a route to that machine.
Yep.
Okay.
And you need, and you know the $C$ trick.
No.
Ooh. How can you not know? This is the most beautiful trick. So, as I want to access like my desktop, this is from a Windows machine, but I think it works on a Mac too. You go to machine name slash $C$.
Right.
Okay, I'm already on the domain, but okay, and now I have the root of that machine without sharing anything, with no shares made. That's a hidden share that's built in.
$C$.
Oh, nice. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay, or even if there's a D or E drive, by default, Windows puts in a hidden share. It won't be listed, but a hidden share for every drive on the machine.
Really?
Whether it's C, D, E.
If you have root access, you get.
If you have administrator access, you can get to anything on that machine.
So any drive, $.
Yeah. Which can be really handy when you're in a bind somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that helps you stick that in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start everything from.
Or sometimes it's a pain to set up a share remote with, so this is just putting your end of the machine.
Very cool.
That's cool.
I think that's it. That answers that question, right?
Yep.
About hitting people's boxes.
But hopefully there shouldn't be too much data on people's boxes.
No. I mean, there's not much that we'd get to anyway.
The real thing that we need to be able to do is the VNC. So that's just all explore. I mean, we have VNC set up on everybody's machines, but if I can't, for whatever reason, I can't pass the credential phase of the deal. So it won't let it. It pulls that up, and I can't. I don't know. I just can't hit the box. So maybe I can now.
From VNC?
I might have to look again.
Oh, mine worked.
Yeah. Oh, does it?
We did it from my Mac. Yeah. Okay.
No, it should be working.
Checking the VNC is what I was using, and it did.
Maybe
it hit it.
No, it should work. And you should, remote desktop should be working now.
Yep.
Remote desktop works, as always.
To all the PCs, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you enabled them on all the PCs?
No, I'm saying, but you should be able to enable them and set up.
Because it doesn't matter now. It's just enabled.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, I mean, for like remote user access, I think remote desktop's better than VNC.
I think so, too.
VNC is good, like, if you're helping them out with something and saying, click here. And
showing them.
Yeah.
Right.
Although there is a trick with remote desktop where you can actually share the console.
Really?
You know that? No, I didn't know that.
I discovered that the other day, and I'm like, man, well, I wish I'd known this like 5 years ago.
I didn't know that.
I think I actually blogged about it a couple months ago. See if I can find it. I can never remember it. I have to look it up every time. Here it is. MSTSC / V : server name / F / console.
Makes it easy to manage.
Directly connect to the console.
Yeah, sure. No problem. School starts Monday, so it's like
a little hyper.
Yeah. All the kids are coming in.
Everybody getting all set.
Dude, that's
cool. Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
Surely they would. I mean,
what I haven't touched
build that in.
No.
You know, build it in is a
flag.
Yeah.
Well, there's supposedly a new version of Remote Desktop out, but I haven't downloaded it.
There's one out for Mac. I just downloaded this morning.
Yeah.
Looks really nice.
Because what I wanted to see if I could remotely access MediaShell while it's still running.
Oh yeah. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Because. A lot of times, like, if I need to troubleshoot something remotely through here or something like that, it'd be nice to be able without locking out machines.
Yeah.
I do it with VNC now, but it's just...
Right.
Like, we actually use MediaShell to run, like, all our streams around the church, like, stuff that's mounted.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much nicer. We got a site license, so...
Yeah.
We just put it's actually part of our image. Every machine gets MediaShell.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But to administer those machines, like, I have a PC sitting in the ceiling right there and there. I have to VNC and... Can't remote.
Usually on and hooked up all the time?
Yeah.
That's funny.
All running so I can switch out slides and whatever and video and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And VNC and all.
Very cool. Are they lightweight machines? You probably don't need much.
Actually, they're VIOS.
Are they?
Because remember we got the
ton
of donated bios. We'll see them today.
Yeah, if we had that many, we'd just be sticking them in the ceiling.
Sticking them everywhere.
No need for distributed television network, closed circuit, just stick TV.
Great.
Yeah, we do everything. We don't have a... We don't even run coax around here. We do everything by streaming. Windows Media Services.
That's cool. I'll dig that up. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because I love RDP much better than VNC.
Oh, yeah. It's so much
easier. Easier.
Mm-hmm. Easier, and you can connect drives, and you can do all sorts of stuff with it.
The only reason I have VNC is so that people can see what I'm doing, which is a shared experience. But that solves that.
Yeah, write that down.
Especially on low bandwidth, remote desktops are so much
better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I don't like about remote desktop is that if you log in at a smaller screen resolution, it screws up the icons on the desktop.
Yeah.
You know, and also, it still does, like, even the console one, it still messes up your session sometimes. Like I use Synergy at home to connect to the Windows machine. And if I remote desktop, even with the console one, it kills any local input. Like, it kind of resets it, and I got to log in and log off or reboot the machine remotely to get back into my machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, I can't get Synergy just because I don't have a keyboard and mouse hooked up to it.
Oh, right. Right. That's funny.
I have the same problem with the Mac, too.
Yeah.
I only have the keyboard and mouse actually hooked up to the Windows machine.
Right.
So now sometimes I have a USB keyboard, I'll plug it in, do my thing, log out, Synergy comes up.
Does it work for Macs too? Or just does it work
Synergy?
No, the RDP.
VNC is built into OS X.
Yeah, no, VNC does. It's,
but not.
No, whether
there's no desktop server side to Mac. No.
There's Mac has their own remote desktop software.
She's pretty expensive.
A couple $100, I think. Yeah.
How is it? Have you tried it?
Yeah, I have a copy.
Is it good?
Yep. It only works Mac to Mac too.
Okay.
How does it work? Video editing and stuff like that.
I've done it. Real basic stuff.
Is that what
stuff.
You use, or do you use it?
If I'm accessing a Mac, I'll use either VNC or Apple Remote Desktop.
When you work from home and you set up a new
Apple Remote Desktop.
Okay, that's what you use.
Because I wanted to set it up for that volunteer that's going to college for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works good. It's a nice app.
You really can't do video editing. Like true video editing over something like that.
You
can't get the frame rate.
No, but in order to I convert our podcast, it takes hours, and then so I could start that from home. I'll remote in, and
drop in his timeline that's already pre-edited.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not doing.
I'm not doing meticulous cuts.
Not needing feedback.
Yeah. I'm just punching settings in,
We have the nice
resolution
thing,
and frame rate, and hit go.
Is that we have one diehard volunteer works for the U.S. government. But he does nothing. He's got nothing to do at work, pretty much.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I work for the U.S. government.
Yeah.
You want to lose job.
So, that's actually what brought on the SSL Explorer in the first place.
Yeah.
Is he's like, I got time. Can you get me access? I'll sit there and do all your Photoshop graphics work. I'll sit there and do all your audio editing, all your...
Right.
And so... Now it's just 443, so it's just a web browser to them.
That is hilarious.
And it was actually funny. And he didn't have Java installed. And I'm like, you need to get Java installed. He's like, I can't just tell him I need Java. I'm like, go find an online class you want to take that has Java. on your work database.
Yeah, great idea.
Okay. They went, put the Java on for him. He's rocking. And he's gotten so good that he can edit our audio... audio podcast by visually because it doesn't bring the sound through. He doesn't have sound on his machine.
So he's looking at the wave pattern.
He knows that this is this, he can almost
that's funny.
So it can come in really handy with volunteer machines and stuff like that. And you're not installing anything, so.
Oh man, that's super.
I'm gonna try to see if I can convince our network.
You can walk in front of the screen.
Really?
Yeah,
sure.
Feel free.
Just like you were so tight in space, every corner printer here, this, there, we're on top of each other over here.
This is great.
That's fun. To me, this is actually a ton of space. You may feel cramped in here, but I'm
this room is in use almost 24/7.
I bet.
People come, because every other place is cramped.
Sure.
But, nothing, huh? Do you guys like to take a tour?
Please, man.
Yep.
Let's see this place.
Do it.
Peace out, homies.
And we'll forget your report.
You still going? Okay, end of podcast.